Blog Talk Radio.
The Ohio State University College of Food, Agriculture, and Environmental Science is a driving force throughout rural Ohio, and in particular, its South Centers located in Piketon, Ohio. The South Centers provides research and educational formats in a number of areas, including horticulture, fruits and vegetables, soil and bioengineering, aquaculture, and business development services. Dr. Tom Worley, director of South Centers, hosts the monthly South Centers chat. Here's Tom.
Good afternoon once again, and welcome to our South Centers chat for September. It's a pleasure to be back with you this afternoon, and we have a special guest from the University of Rio Grande with us this afternoon, Dr. Govinda Kerala. And Dr. Kerala is an economics professor here at the University of Rio Grande and has many courses that he teaches and commentary that he makes on events of the day, and I think it's very timely that we have him with us today. I think we're going to spend not the full time on economic questions because Govinda is a native of Nepal. And even though it was great big news, the really strong earthquake that hit over there, we're going to touch a little bit on that. But before we get into anything further, I want to welcome you this afternoon, Govinda, and share with us a little bit about your background in Nepal and how you came to America to study and are here at Rio Grande for a number of years.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you very much. I'm Govinda Kerala, yes. I was born and raised in a small village of Nepal, small mountain village of Nepal, and that's one reason why I like this village area to stay, more likely on that. And I started studying, and
Thank you very much.
You might just want to begin with the village that you were raised up in.
Okay. I was born and raised in a mountain area of Nepal. I studied there, not only studied, actually, even at the age of 11, I started teaching at the primary school. I was a responsible teacher at that time.
Wow.
And actually, it will be coming out in my autobiography later on. I studied there and went to college and universities. My background was science, actually, math and science, but later on, I converted to statistics first.
Okay.
I started teaching statistics to economics students over there in Kathmandu, in Kuban University.
And Kathmandu is the capital city of Nepal.
It's the capital city of Nepal.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a chance to study in the United States with the East West Center Scholarship, and I went to Hawaii.
Wow.
Very good place, nice, enjoyable place.
We would all agree with you on that.
Yeah, and I finished my MBA work over there.
Okay.
I stayed there about 3 years, and then went back to Nepal again, and then I started teaching again. Later on, I thought, if I have a background in statistics, if I have a background in management, why don't I have a background in economics? And I started developing my interest in economics, so I came back to the United States for master's in Ohio University. I did master's over there, and then went to New York University for my PhD.
Wow.
And again, looking at the job, again, I was thinking to work somewhere, but I liked this place. I came back in 1996. and it is now almost 20 years.
Wow.
20 years teaching.
Right.
I've run university and working over here. It's nice.
That's a great story about,
about myself.
As a young man beginning to teach at 11 years old, and even
true.
To this day, Govinda was sharing that he's teaching five different sections of courses here at the University of Rio Grande this very semester. And I think he mentioned that he's just taught a couple sections already today and now doing this program with us. So you can tell that he truly loves what he does. And I'm sure is, even though I've not had pleasure of hearing him teach, very successful with his students. Back to Nepal, though, it's intriguing. I think most of us would recognize that Nepal is a very mountainous country, includes Mount Everest, the highest peak, and, you know, we see lots of pictures sometimes on nature shows about the climbers going up Mount Everest and all of the things that are involved and the arduous nature of it. But help us on your recent trip that you happened to be there when this earthquake came about. And did it just so happen that you were there on a vacation visiting family, or was there something else that took you back to Nepal?
To visit my family, I mm-hmm. went last year, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I went to Nepal. Family members are there. And when I was there, actually, earthquake happened. One of the major earthquakes, actually, after 80 years, it was 80 years ago also, there was similar kind of earthquake,
mm-hmm.
but this time devastating earthquake. And many, many people died in that.
You mentioned a figure of how many thousands did that?
Actually, about 8,000 people
mm-hmm.
Died.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see some of the destructions already in this area.
This is the capital city.
This is the capital city, but other places, actually, another place, Gorkha is called, and these are the people who are staying after the destruction.
Mm-hmm.
And many countries tried to help immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Many countries tried to help. But a little bit problematic over there is that the country is not stable yet.
Okay.
In terms of political wrangling is going on.
Okay.
Still there are so many political parties are there.
Mm-hmm.
And if one of the party wants to do something, another party will try to pull the leg so that they don't want other party to
succeed.
Win or kind of succeed.
Mm-hmm.
That way, people are not getting very much good impression about the party wrangling. But, of course, this is simply the transition period. We were otherwise having monarchy earlier, but now it is completely a democratic country,
mm-hmm.
and it was
how recent is this democracy?
Democracy
movement?
Started actually monarchy with monarchy. Democracy started a little
okay.
bit,
mm-hmm.
but people were not satisfied completely with that either. About 20-25 years ago, later on, then about 10 years ago. They started, no, we have to develop another kind of constitution, and they made the constitution now. It is constitution already published, but still, while there is political wrangling, still we consider that in transition phase, mainly because of that, these earthquake victims also could not get proper help.
Because the politicians really didn't have a good
It is
systematic.
The politics. I always blame them in that sense. Of course, politics is a good thing in one way,
mm-hmm.
politics, that we, people, would be very energetic in that case, if
mm-hmm.
good politicians are there,
right.
energetic to move on. But it has not been very well. But hopefully, it is 1 year now, but people are getting some donations, many other government agencies, non-government agencies are there to help these people. So it is going on well otherwise that way.
A lot of times I think you're describing, if, or at least what I take away from what you said, is that the international community of nations
mm-hmm.
were there immediately with assistance and substance, food, water, clothing, shelter, all the things, medical care that would be required after a major earthquake and the injuries that people had and the displacements. But sometimes the politicians got in the way of really delivering these things directly to the people that needed it worse.
But they have to do their job. They have to do their own job. Not international agencies or international people will do. They have to do themselves, of course.
Right.
But only because otherwise another party will succeed, or kind of thinking, those kind of thinking had some kind of bad reputation on that. But hopefully, but I'm very positive, hopefully it will work and people will be very happy after that.
Good. Well, Govinda, you showed the effects of the earthquake and the devastation that it caused and the loss of life, but you also had some very beautiful pictures of Nepal. Would you like to share them and talk about what we're seeing on the screen?
Yeah, this is paragliding in Pokhara. In Pokhara, from where you can see the mount, actually, mount. This is Mount, I think, Machapusri, they call it.
Okay.
But it is very enjoyable place. Actually, these mountains, as you are saying, world top mountain.
Himalayas.
Himalayas. Top mountain, out of the 10 highest mountains, 8 are there in Nepal, including the first Mount Everest,
mm-hmm.
of course. And you can view, actually, particular visiting time, the best time for that one would be around this time, actually, fall. Fall would be the best time to visit so that it would be clear, everything.
Oh.
But because many people cannot go.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where, actually, I also enjoyed for the first time in my life, I flew like a bird. In paragliding, these kind of things are there, and so I enjoyed. And I went there mainly because to support, basically, to support the other people around there. Because if we can support them, then all other people would be helpful.
Sure.
Actually, because this is a business,
mm-hmm.
this is a investment for Nepal. If Nepal can invest on this kind of agencies or this kind of tourism sector, then it will be a very good development.
Absolutely.
It can be.
Absolutely. I think you've mentioned that, you know, in your lifetime, you've seen a lot of the economy in Nepal shift from based on agriculture toward tourism and the external inflows that brings from all over the world, that people want to come because of that scenery and the mountain climbing and the things that Nepal offers.
Yeah, one thing, they have to manage it properly, and they have to manage infrastructure also. Unless there are good infrastructure, people are very, tourists will not be attracted that much.
Is that
because
airports?
Not only airports, traveling by roads also.
Cars.
Roads are very weak roads, actually.
Okay.
They don't have that many roads. Otherwise, you have to travel. You have to trek also. Of course, for the trekking cases, they enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
My children actually enjoy going trekking all the time. They say,
mm-hmm.
I like to go to Nepal for trekking kind of thing.
Sure.
And other people also, trekking, yes, is one of the good things. But
mm-hmm.
even for the trekking, you have to reach some places by vehicles, autos, and by plane.
Start from there.
Start from there, and you can enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
So there are many things still to be done.
Okay.
And
so are there lots of Western-type accommodations in terms of hotels, restaurants, or?
Yeah, they are mostly
Western,
actually.
They are.
We are global village now. They know, these young people and other people, they know exactly what is about all around the world.
Okay.
They know that. So
okay.
They can attract themselves also. They can attract the other people
mm-hmm.
as well. And all the hotels and others actually mostly are Westerns.
Okay. And I would interpret that that also includes English-speaking people at the desk and so forth.
Yes. Almost in traveling kind of business, almost all people actually speak English even better than me.
Wow.
I have still some kind of accent. I know that because I did all my work, education, in my own native language, Nepali, almost
mm-hmm.
all Nepali, and then I came over here.
Right.
So still I could not improve my,
mm-hmm.
because people cannot improve that way anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So
Nepal is a fascinating nation, and it's a pleasure to learn more
about
it.
Yeah, of course. I want to invite you and all other people around this place also, so that you can help even those affected people from the earthquake. Yes,
absolutely.
Indirectly or directly.
Well, just a little side note,
yeah.
A friend of yours, Yogi
uh-huh.
Rout, is one
uh-huh.
of our staff members over at OSU Piketon at the South Centers that works in our soil and water program. And I know Yogi was very, very concerned with the news of the earthquake,
yeah.
and put out a solicitation, you know, for support and donations from our staff. And I think he
yeah.
did get a good response and was able to forward something over to help out in a small way anyway. And I think you're exactly on target that many people, once you see the kind of pictures that you were just showing, you know, it's a very interesting place and fascinating that our world has shrunk to a global village. And who knows, maybe one day some will get to visit over there. And especially I think that in terms of the tourism and even the kind of things that you were doing, with the paragliding, really about experience and,
yeah.
You know, in terms of travels and so forth. And you mentioned trekking. I think there's a lot of renewed interest in walking and, you know, trying to be healthy. And when you turn that into a trek in a foreign country, that's really
that was very helpful. And people are very, very helpful
mm-hmm.
and very friendly around there. Once any person who goes to Nepal once, they always like to go again and again,
uh-huh.
mainly because of the friendliness of the people.
Absolutely.
Just like around here in this area also,
mm-hmm.
like their family are together.
Okay.
And they are also want to be together with
right.
each other. And that's in this area. That's one reason why, later on I may want to talk about that one also, why in this area this unemployment rate is a little bit high. More higher than
mm-hmm.
the other area, even in Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
Main reason, I think, is because people don't want to move too far away.
Sure.
Too far away. They want to be with their family,
right.
family and friends.
Right.
And it's good, actually,
right.
a good thing. That's
right.
what I like most.
Well, I think you've hit upon something that is easily observable, that families here in this part of Ohio and more broadly, in the smaller towns, villages, hamlets of the Appalachian region of our country tend to be pretty close-knit. And yes, I think they're willing to sacrifice the last dollar of salary or wages in the big
yeah.
cities and on the coast,
yeah.
by and large, to maintain that. And I think you're hitting on the same thing in Nepal, that
yeah.
you find that
mm-hmm.
to be true. And it's just a matter of people's preferences playing out. And as economists, I think we
mm-hmm.
can understand that preferences play into our decisions in a very big way. That's one of the basic tenets that we start with, that everything is based on the consumer's preference or the individual preference. And that's why a capitalist economy allows people to express those preferences. Before we get really sidetracked and as our time goes quickly, I know, Govinda, that in your courses and in your experience, you've had many conversations and teach the concepts around wage levels.
Mm-hmm.
And we hear a lot in the news over the last months and since the recession of 2008 about raising the minimum wage. And we hear things that would say that's the thing to do. And then, but as economists, we know there's other considerations that come into playing. So do you care to comment on that a little bit for us?
Yeah, many people. It seems like raising the wage level would be good for the workers. And that those who are working, they feel that way. Oh, if the wage rate is increased, mm-hmm. actually will be happy.
Mm-hmm.
Many people have that kind of, some kind of deception
mm-hmm.
on that one.
Mm-hmm.
Because increase in wage, okay, that's fine, but who will be hiring those people?
Mm-hmm.
They will actually like to hire less people. When wage rate increases, businesses are for the profit, to make profit.
Right.
And if they have to pay a lot higher amount, will they be hiring?
Mm-hmm.
Unless these people would be working more and giving more efficiency, of course,
mm-hmm.
but it will not be. Then they will try to replace these workers by automation,
mm-hmm.
more kind of automation. That means you will create more unemployment in that case.
Mm-hmm.
Those people who are seeking for higher wage rate, they will be higher wage rate, they will be actually getting zero wage because they will be laid off.
Lose off to...
They will be laid off.
Mm-hmm.
And other thing, if the wage rate will be higher, then businesses also, oh, why do I then start producing over here? Why don't I go to some other countries? I take my business to other countries and then bring them back, bring over there.
With
that means you are helping the other countries to increase the wage,
mm-hmm.
Increase the wage and increase the employment over there, not here then.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the one main reason people don't understand. Those people who are seeking for higher wage, they are the ones who will not be getting.
Mm-hmm.
Those who have already experience, who have already talent, they will be already getting some higher wage.
Yeah.
They already do. So
what counsel would you give someone who is maybe young and maybe doesn't have a lot of work experience or
mm-hmm.
skills build up,
yeah.
That, say, is having to go and that first job is maybe just at our current minimum wage, which
mm-hmm.
I think is somewhere just above $8 per
yeah.
hour. What counsel would you give that type person?
Well, for that person, well, try to work, even if it is minimum, it is a law required, then improve yourself for that particular job,
okay.
however you can.
Mm-hmm.
That basically means to improve the skill, then you have to go to education. You have to have the education training kind of things. Higher education always means higher wage. In general, if I have read somewhere around this area, average wage, yearly wage for high school graduates,
mm-hmm.
under high school graduates, get less than 30,000.
Okay.
And high school graduates, but not college,
mm-hmm.
finished, a little bit somewhere, will get about 33,000 or something. But those who are graduate, they get about 50,000 on an average.
Okay.
So it helps them a lot. That
mm-hmm.
means improve yourself.
Okay.
You have to improve
mm-hmm.
a lot.
I think you would also recognize that we're a little bit biased, you and I, toward education and
mm-hmm.
higher education. I think that's a valid point. I think that some people look at it today, young people, and say, but that comes with great cost, perhaps, in terms of I have to finance it with student loans. Do you think that, or at least I would only submit that from what we hear in our work with businesses in the region, that really a person that will show up every day on
mm-hmm.
time
mm-hmm.
and be open to leadership and open to the idea of learning new skills on the job has a great chance of succeeding and moving toward a higher wage position, and that if it's not within that very same company, but if they do that well, they can
and
succeed
yeah.
at the next level and progress in that way as well.
Yeah, that's always true. Actually, not only that, actually, I suggest even you don't have to target to the very expensive colleges,
mm-hmm.
expensive universities.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to. They also teach exactly the same thing,
yep.
but you have to be serious.
Yes.
The students have to be serious. We teach exactly the same thing. Community colleges or the other colleges, the state colleges, will give the same education. So you don't
yep.
have to focus on that kind of thing.
Sure, sure. That's
so,
a good point, too. That's a good point, too.
Yeah.
Well, I think that we have just about enough time that if you care to, another topic that is near and dear to folks is the changes in gas prices. And we see these go up, very high in the last 5 years or so, and then we had some that we were buying some gas for less than $2 a gallon. What's going on with gas prices?
Gas prices actually it depends on various factors, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But the major problem would be, major point would be, when the gas price were increasing at the time, actually 3-4 years ago, they were trying to increase and people were saying it will go all the way to $7-$8.
Mm-hmm.
No. People will always start thinking of alternatives.
Okay.
Always, if there is an alternative. And the gas price, total gas will not be available in the whole world every time, because it is not replaceable. But another replaceable energy will be coming out. And if that is the case, then all the vehicles, everything, will be of alternate modes. So they will be running with batteries, some other solar power, and so on. So if that were the case, then if that will be developed, then gas price will not be rising that soon. It will not be. You don't have to worry that much, because always there are people who can figure out the alternatives.
Right. I think another aspect of that I'm pretty confident you'll agree with me on, the cure for high prices is high prices.
Yourself.
That not only brings up on the alternatives,
true,
but it allows even the old technologies to be expanded. That's where we
true.
Saw in eastern
uh-huh.
Ohio
uh-huh.
the horizontal drilling and the fracking and
yes.
release a lot of energy that wasn't worth getting, but
yep.
at a higher price level,
no.
then
they started moving
that
on that
technology.
Direction. Yeah.
Yes.
They start generating even more
right.
technology or more
yes.
Interesting things.
Yes, yes. So that's the beauty of economics, I think,
yeah.
that, you know, we don't always know the timing. That's the hard part. But we can
yeah.
make pretty solid predictions that if prices get out of proportion
mm-hmm.
in our economy, that there's a correction at work, and
yeah.
that either something new will come along to replace that it won't always stay in the same level of high price as it has been. Govinda, this has been a great half hour with you. I think we
yeah.
kind of touched on the surface, but we're winding down here. And I just have time to thank you for taking the time to join us for the program this afternoon, and to sign off and wish your country, your homeland, continued success and recovery, and you continued success with your professorship here in economics at the University of Rio Grande. Thank you all out there for joining us this afternoon, and we'll see you next time on the South Center's Chat.
Thank you very much. I'm going to go. Thank you.